What if you could complete your MBA in just 1 year? Thanks to the College of Charleston School of Business, now you can. Their accelerated MBA program condenses a traditional two-year program into one rigorous year, ensuring you not only save a year of tuition and fees, but also re-enter the workforce quickly and graduate with critical business knowledge. U.S. News & World Report recognized the College of Charleston MBA as number one in the country for its job placement rate within 3 months of graduation. Learn more at mba.cfc.edu.
Opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Good morning, and welcome to Beyond the Business, brought to you by the College of Charleston School of Business. The College of Charleston School of Business, where students are beyond ready to work, they're ready to make an impact. Each Saturday morning at 9, successful business leaders and entrepreneurs from across the Lowcountry talk about what it takes to succeed in business and in life. Now your hosts of Beyond the Business, Eric Cox and Leslie Haywood.
And great Saturday morning, Lowcountry. Welcome to another edition of Beyond the Business, presented by the College of Charleston School of Business and Coastal Wealth Management. We're excited to have you here for another day of stories of entrepreneurship and leadership from around the world, exclusively heard here on 94.3 and simulcast on iHeartRadio and iTunes. I'm one of your hosts this morning, Eric Cox, with Leslie Haywood from West Ashley. Leslie, how you doing?
All the way from West of the Ashley. I am doing awesome, Eric. Thank you for having me. And thank you, Lowcountry, for sharing your Saturday morning with us. And make sure and continue the fun beyond Saturday morning. And talk to us on our Facebook page at Beyond the Business or on Twitter at BTBCHS. So how's your morning going, Eric?
You know what? We are rocking and rolling through the month of December. Hard to believe we only have a couple weeks left in 2021. It has absolutely flown by. And hopefully, Leslie, you are starting your list of New Year's resolutions for 2022. So be thinking about that.
Yes. And you know what happens on the 30th of this month? 50.
Oh.
5-0.
Well, it's just you and I. Nobody knows about that.
No, so
it's just
half you and a century. I. Oh, my God.
I heard it's horrible. I don't know. I heard it was horrible.
This is a big one. So, I mean, we can slow down time. I just want to be in my 40s for a little bit longer. So,
it's been there, done that, Leslie. Been there, done that. So, we're excited to have all of our listeners back for another great show today. By the way, in case you missed it last week, we had a phenomenal show. The president of the College of Charleston, Andrew Hsu, was on with us, telling us his life story, and certainly, what a great story it was. Leslie, what was a takeaway or a nugget that you had from President Hsu's story last week?
There is so many, but I'm always so humbled when, I am blessed to have, I had a great childhood, but when we have guests who are pillars in the community and leaders, and they come from such hard times living in China. And if you missed that show, you've got to go back and watch it. And he had a very good outlook. All of the worst things that could possibly happen in his life happened when he was a child. So it's like the rest is gravy. And he is making the most of every opportunity here in the States. And I love how a woman in his life changed the trajectory, which, you know, we tend to do that, don't we?
I could resonate with that one, absolutely. And so what a great testament to just the relationships of life that, you know, the journey, if you think about everything along the way was relationships, his parents, his aunt and his uncle, his wife, Rong Rong, all along the way, these relationships have shaped and formed the path. And so really excited. President Hsu, are you there? And welcome to have you back this morning.
I'm here. Good to see you, Eric and Leslie.
I'm really excited, President Hsu, that Leslie didn't run you off last week. So thank you for coming back to our show today. We're excited to dive into the second half. And again, in case you just joined us, we have President Andrew Hsu, who's the 23rd president of the College of Charleston Online. And when we left you last week, President Hsu, you were talking about you had received a phone call in regards to the opportunity to become the president at the college. And you were kind of vetting through that process. And ultimately, as you said, the rest is history, right? You became the president. However, I'd love for our listeners to hear a little bit about that process. And so talk about what it was like to receive the phone call to be notified that you have been selected for the president of the College of Charleston.
Sure. Before that, Leslie, just know that you're still a baby. You're so young compared to me. So,
so half a century is still young. I love it. Thank you.
So, the first call was really interesting because the call was actually a call from the Board of Trustees right during their board meeting, right after they voted, and immediately after they voted, they gave me a call and told me that I was actually selected as the 23rd president of the College of Charleston. I was flabbergasted because there were some very impressive candidates in the finalist pool, and both more experienced and certainly more eloquent than me. And I thought, certainly some of these or one of these two other candidates would have been chosen. So I was a little surprised, but it was a really pleasant surprise.
Now, how did we talk about personal life. I want to hear what your wife had to say about this College of Charleston. What did she feel about the move?
Well, like I said last time, she thinks it's really God's doing. And she said, if God is willing to put you there, I'm willing to follow you. And so... she actually, she worked all her life and she was an engineer and then became a professor and taught college for many years. But she's willing to give all of that up and follow me to Charleston.
Well, we're certainly glad she did. In regards to just thinking about the college, right, here we are at the 13th oldest institution in the United States, the oldest liberal arts college in the country. And you mentioned this last week in your segment, you coming up through academics on the engineering side, right? And so here you are taking over a liberal arts college. What did that mean for you and maybe even to this new level, right, that you're going personally to become part of a liberal arts institution?
Well, it's really a humbling experience. I think I graduated from Georgia Tech. I'm a rambling wreck, and I'll have to say Georgia Tech produced very good engineers. But I know I don't have a strong liberal arts background, and in fact I'm missing a lot of those fundamentals. And in fact, I've been trying to make that up throughout my life, trying to take classes in English literature and psychology and so forth. I've been trying to do these, or history, political science. I've been doing these initially at community colleges and then through online courses later in when they became available. But it's still an area that I'm weak on. So it's really humbling that the trustees actually have the confidence in me to lead this very historical, very prestigious liberal arts school. So it makes me want to work that much harder to do a good job.
Well, and I'm going to jump in real quick, by the way, as a side note, since you mentioned Georgia Tech, and I know you know this history because you're a history savant, but back in... I can't remember what year it was. I believe it was like 93 because I was a senior at the College of Charleston, and we actually beat number 8 Georgia Tech in basketball. And that put, of course, John Kress put the college on the map, but that game really elevated the program and I think the notoriety of the College of Charleston. So there's a lot of history with Georgia Tech.
Yeah, and I hope that we can do this again with Coach Kelsey.
Amen to that.
Now, in those early years, when you first took over the job, what was some of the surprising things that you learned real quick in moving to Charleston and with the college, and what was those early experiences?
Well, in those early days, everything is a surprise, and everything is actually a pleasant surprise, because I was really surprised to see how good a school we have. The long history, the prestige that comes with that long history. It's a really well-respected university, and on top of that, I'm really surprised the quality of faculty we have at the College of Charleston. Some of them had some of the best pedigree in the country. They're also some of the best teachers, best teacher scholars in the country. They really enjoy teaching undergraduate students and do a tremendous job in teaching undergraduate students. And also, it's a surprise to see what high quality, enthusiastic students we have. So the and what's most surprising, which I guess I shouldn't be surprised, because I knew that all along, but nonetheless, I still was surprised, was how friendly this community is and continue to be. I mean, I've lived in the South, as you know, I was in Atlanta, but I'll have to say I've never lived in a friendlier city than the city of Charleston.
Well, we all love to be a part of that, for sure. And so, just like on our show, we have CEOs come on week in and week out. We talk with them about the importance of a business plan, executing their business plan, executing their annual plan. And it's no different for a higher education situation, right? You have a strategic plan. If you don't mind, give a little insight to you as the leader of the organization. What goes into the thinking behind building a strategic plan? And what are the elements that are so critical for you in the implementation of it?
Sure. When I first came, of course, the board's charge to me was to move the College of Charleston to the next level. And of course, as an engineer, my first thing to do is to collect data and analyze the data. So I actually came up with all sorts of historical charts of where we were and where we are and where we're going. And I did this all SWOT analysis, and I took a presentation around campus and tried to talk to people about where we are, and then try to collect input as to where we should be or where we want to be. And of course, the strategic planning process that we implemented took an entire academic year, and we received input from all kinds of constituencies, from faculty, staff, to alumni, industry, and community partners. So we came up with a very good plan, and that plan is titled Tradition and Transformation. When I first came to Charleston, one thing that really surprised me was actually the importance of history and the importance of tradition here. And I think it really did make sense because Charleston is actually one of the oldest cities in North America, and the college being one of the oldest higher education institutions in North America, certainly I think it makes sense. So I think we all collectively decided that tradition should guide our future. I also talked to a lot of people, and we all agreed that change is necessary, transformation is necessary. In fact, when I first came to Charleston, I visited Grace Church, which is right across the street from the president's house where I live. And I talked to Reverend Michael Wright, and he told me something that stuck with me to this day. And he said, the world is changing rapidly around us. If we don't change, we are left behind. And he said that actually applies to the church. And I said, if it applies to the church, it certainly applies to any higher education institution. So change is what we're aiming at now.
So what are some of the changes between then and now that you're most proud of?
Well, some of the changes that we're making, one is that we're now even more focused on student centeredness, and we want our student to be successful. So we're focusing on student success. And we have made a lot of good progress there. And the other, of course, is that we wanted to improve, further improve the reputation and make it one of the places that students make it their first choice as a university. And we certainly achieved that. In fact, our number of applicants went from 11,000 applicants a year to now, within 2.5 years, over 20,000 students a year applying to the College of Charleston. And in fact, we enrolled one of the largest freshman classes and one of the best freshman classes this fall. So all of those are because of the changes that we're making.
And by the way, in case you just joined us, that voice you're listening to is that of President Andrew Hsu from the College of Charleston. And President Hsu, you know, my mentor in life always told me that my life would be shaped and formed by two things, mainly the books that I read and the people that I meet. Certainly, you've talked a lot about both in last week and this week's segment, mentioning, you know, certainly books from a young age, certainly relationships in your life, you know, obviously, your wife has been an integral part of every move. Are there other people you can point to throughout your journey that you've been able to rely on for wise counsel as you've made decisions going forward?
Yes, actually, you know, mentorship was a very important part of my career. I think there are a number of people in my life that have mentored me and helped me to become the leader that I am now. I can think of I spent an entire year with the then Ohio State President Gordon Gee as his ACE fellow. ACE is American Council on Education, and I was a fellow supported by ACE, and I spent an entire year in the president's office, and he continues to be a mentor to me. Even today, I'm working on a monthly basis with a retired university president. He was the president of Ohio University. Name is Bob Glidden, and he's been a mentor since I became a fellow. And he continues to be a mentor to this day. And obviously, all my previous supervisors, the provost at Wright State, the president at University of Toledo, and so forth, they've all been mentors and willing to give me an education that I was lacking. I'm what you call a lifelong learner. What I found was I can learn something from anybody that's around me, and everybody knows something that I don't know, and I enjoy being a lifelong learner and learning from all these good mentors.
Now, we have listeners, thanks to, you know, Spotify and all these other means, from people all over the world and all over the U.S. If someone is looking at College of Charleston, what are some of the myths that maybe someone might have about the College of Charleston? And what are the strengths in case people are thinking about coming?
Sure. Some of the myths, you know, people think that we're just a beautiful campus, and which we are. We're actually voted as one of the most beautiful campuses in the United States. That we are, and there are actually people who think that we're a party school. I don't think we are that. We are actually an excellent academic institution. We have outstanding academic programs, some very unique academic programs. For example, our marine biology program, our hospitality and tourism program, our historic preservation program. We have any number of programs that are some of the best in the country.
So nothing like getting the opportunity to take over the presidency and being faced with adversity fairly quickly after that anointment. And that would be the fact that COVID hits, right? And so as a leader of any organization, whether it be higher education or a CEO of a company that we talk to on this show, talk about sort of your thoughts and your vision, and really more than anything, President Hsu, your leadership on bringing the college through this COVID crisis.
Sure. The pandemic really presented us a challenge unlike any other that we have seen in any of our lives. And certainly we didn't know what to do, and we have struggled. But I think what really helped us was, one, we have outstanding faculty and staff who stepped up. And two, we tried very hard to be communicative. We beefed up our communications effort. As you know, the physical world doesn't like a vacuum, and also the information world, whenever there's a vacuum in information, it's immediately filled with rumors and misinformation. So we tried to talk to our faculty and staff and the students and parents all the time. When the pandemic first started, we had town hall meetings for all these different constituencies separately every 2 weeks, and we talked to them face-to-face or virtually face-to-face, and answer any and all questions that they have. And we eventually eased it up, and now are having town hall meetings every other month. But I think because of those communications, we were able to manage this pandemic very successfully. In fact, compared to our peers, I would say that we had much better results, both our physical health as well as our campus student health.
Is there anything that you can talk about moving forward on the horizon? We'd love to hear about some exciting things you've got in the works.
Sure. So I think some of the most exciting things are that we're expanding the scope of the university. As I mentioned during last week's interview, the College of Charleston is a liberal arts institution primarily and historically. But now we're expanding to become a much, much more comprehensive university. We started a health public health program several years ago, and we just started a few engineering programs last fall and this fall, and we're going to continue to expand in those areas. We have selected a few programs that we're going to make our signature programs that are going to become some of the best in the country. And we're really moving forward very quickly. So I mentioned our enrollment, our applications, our desirability is going up very quickly. Our philanthropy is also moving up very quickly. In fact, we reached a new record of $20 million of philanthropy this last year. And I want to use this opportunity to thank all the supporters of the College of Charleston for making our success possible.
And another great opportunity coming up right around the corner on January 27th, which is CFC Day.
Yes. Yeah.
So we're looking forward to having everybody involved in that process. And if you need more, certainly go to the college website and check that out. We're running close on time. I want to get a quick question, and Leslie's going to do our lightning round. Quick question for you, President Hsu. You're sitting here. You're across the table from a graduating senior. What is your worldly advice that you give as they're walking out the door?
Well, be willing to take risks and take opportunities that life present to you, and be willing to stay as lifelong learners.
Wonderful.
Leslie, are you ready to bring us home with a lightning round?
I'm ready. After all, this is people you know, stories you don't. We got some quick questions for you just to get to know you. What's the best movie of all time?
The best movie of all times. I'm sorry to say that I like what my daughters would call chick flicks. It's when Harry Met Sally.
I love it.
I didn't see that one coming, by the way, but I love it.
All right, your favorite book.
My favorite book is actually a book called Wind of War by Herman Wouk. It was a book that I learned my early English from.
Wonderful. And on your perfect day off, where are we going to find you?
I'm probably walking on the beach with my golden retriever.
And the number one thing on your bucket list?
To learn, to become a music major on the college campus.
Wow, how about that? And also, I'd love to throw in there, let's talk about maybe something about you, a trade or a craft that you have, something that you're really good at that people may not know, because I already know what it is.
Well, I'm a reasonably good ping pong player, and I'm a reasonably good tennis player. So I can't say I'm really good at anything, but I'm reasonably good at a lot of things.
Sounds like we need to start a fundraiser for the college and have some sort of ping pong tournament with starring President Xu. How's that sound?
That sounds great. I would love it.
Awesome. Ping pong. All right.
Well, President Xu, we just can't thank you enough again for being a part of our show, sharing your story both last week and this week. And certainly, I want to say as an alumni, as a foundation board member, and just as a person in this community, we appreciate all that you're doing for the College of Charleston.
Thank you, Eric. We certainly at the College of Charleston appreciate your support, your service. And thank you, Leslie, also for having me on your show.
Again, President Andrew Xu, the 23rd president of the College of Charleston, heard here on Beyond the Business, presented by the College of Charleston School of Business and Coastal Wealth Management. And until next Saturday morning, Lowcountry, have a blessed week.
Thank you for listening to Beyond the Business, brought to you by the College of Charleston School of Business. The College of Charleston School of Business, where students are beyond ready to work, they're ready to make an impact. Tune in next Saturday morning at 9 for Beyond the Business, hosted by Eric Cox and Leslie Haywood, and heard exclusively on News Radio 94.3 WSC. The College of Charleston School of Business is recognized among the top 30 colleges for studying business abroad by the Business Research Guide, with 9 undergraduate majors, 10 minors, and 6 concentration areas, an honors program in business, and master's programs in business and accountancy. The College of Charleston School of Business has more than 3,000 students enrolled. Their students are ready to work, and they're ready to make an impact. For more info, visit sb.cfc.edu.